A warning, this episode contains a brief mention of suicide. I always say that when you're trying to treat stuff like depression or other common mental disorders, you should try a lot of different things. Trial and error. See what works for you. Nothing works for everyone. Try a lot of different things. Today, on the show, someone who tried a lot of different things. It's Depression Mode. I'm John Moe. I'm glad you're here. Neil Brennan is a veteran stand-up comedian, comedy writer, and person with major depressive disorder. He was the co-creator, along with Dave Chappelle, of the comedy series Chappelle's Show. The two also wrote the stoner comedy cult classic Half-Baked. More recently, Neil created the stand-up special Three Mics on Netflix, where he performs with three microphones, one for one-liner jokes, one for more traditional stand-up, and one to talk about his experiences with depression and with his father. Neil tells about his dad's late-in-life confession that he never loved Neil or Neil's nine older siblings. Neil Brennan's latest special, Blocks, includes a lot of really funny comedy.
I dated a model. Thank you. Guys, dating a model is like owning a dune buggy. And dating a model is like owning a dune buggy, because at the beach, it's great. But everywhere else, you're like, I shouldn't have brought you here.
Other parts of the Block special are about the things Neil has tried to alleviate a depression that dates back to his teens. And again, Neil has tried a lot of different things. Today, we're going to hear about his experiences with meds, Freudian therapy, human growth hormone, ketamine, ayahuasca, TMS, or transcranial magnetic stimulation, another version of TMS in China, 5-MeO-DMT, which is a psychedelic, and his upcoming experience with IFS, or internal family systems therapy. I'm not suggesting that you try all or any of the things Neil tried. I recommend you proceed into anything with caution and safety, and I do not recommend you go outside of what is legal. I wanted to bring you Neil's story because he's really taken this idea of trying things pretty far, and he's willing to report back on how it all worked out for him. Some of these things worked out great. Some were a horrifying disaster, as we'll hear. Let's go talk to Neil. Neil Brennan, welcome to Depression Mode.
It's not a pleasure to be here. Don't want to be here. Don't like having depression. Wish I wasn't available. Wish I wasn't qualified to be here, but I am.
But you are. Let's talk about that a little bit right up at the top. Like if this was a job interview and we were hiring somebody who had experienced depression, like what's your resume? What are your lists of achievements in this field?
I guess my CV would be, you know, depressed from 17, 18, 19 until pretty recently, I would say. I feel like I've finally cracked it. Well, we can obviously run up to that.
Sure.
You know, I spent my very early 20s trying to out-achieve my depression. I would have depression. I would get a job that I thought was cool, and I would use the propulsion, the social proportion or the perceived social proportion to give myself adrenaline to feel good. It might've been, you know, dopamine or something more positive than adrenaline, but in essence, that's what the plan was. And then I kind of hit a wall in terms of, I had some career successes and it just kind of didn't make me feel any better.
Was the thinking that surely nobody who's gotten a movie made could be depressed, because what would they have to be depressed about? Was that the thinking?
Yeah, of course. That I understand that way of thinking. It's like what capitalism's based on, kind of. But yeah, I definitely experienced that. Like, got a movie made, got TV show jobs, cool stuff for any age. And I was young, so it was even cooler, you know, or I thought it was. So I maybe 23, 24, it was 24 the year was 1998. And I went to a therapist because I was with a girlfriend who I like didn't really shouldn't have been with, and was kind of always questioning, like, why don't I like this more? I should like this. And went to the therapist and she said, you need antidepressants. So she sent me to a psychiatrist and I got prescribed Zoloft, and I would say that it worked. You know, my mood overall probably improved 35-40%. I remember telling a friend of mine, I know why people dance now. I don't want to, but I understand why they dance. This was, I believe, probably into 99, this was happening. And I remember the New York Knicks were doing well in the playoffs. That was exciting. That may have been a lockout year. And it was just fun. That lasted more or less for, I mean, I could say it lasted at least 10 years, maybe more. Like, it lasted, I took Zoloft, I'd say, from 98 till, I'm going to go to 2012, maybe. It just stopped working at a certain point.
And was that combined with talk therapy, or were you just doing the pills?
Yes. Talk therapy the whole time. The one thing I would caution people to consider when it comes to therapy is different modalities, because they don't tell you. There are dozens and dozens of modalities, whether it's EMDR or CBT or Freudian or Jungian or, you know,
dialectical.
Yeah, like there's so many different ones, and they are like car dealers where they want you to buy their method, which is, I gotta say, about as close to malpractice as I can think.
Right.
I don't want to say out and out I think it's malpractice, but pretty close.
You wouldn't dismiss the idea.
I sure wouldn't.
What kind of therapy were you doing? And did you realize that you were doing it?
I believe I was doing Freudian analysis.
Oh, okay.
So it was just stuff that I didn't believe in. Like, what? Tell me about your dreams. And I'd be like, I have the same dream every night. I've had the same dream every night, more or less, for 15 years, which is Lorne Michaels is mad at me. I'd never worked with Lorne until about 5 years ago. But it was always some sort of SNL dream, a place I'd never worked, and Lauren was mad at me. It's like, it's not even symbol. It's like the laziest dream writing. Shame on my brain for that. for like a last minute assignment that they rushed and thought I wouldn't notice.
Yeah. And then the series kept running. It got renewed year after year.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I don't care who tells me this tonight. It can't be the same thing every week, whether or not even week, every night, more or less. That's the dream I remember.
Do you still get that dream?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Every night?
Sure.
Oh.
Well, like half the time that I remember. There's always an interval. I don't know, man. So not a lot there other than, like, you're stressed out about work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking congratulations. Here, who do I make the check out to? So.
Did you ever switch modalities? Did you try CBT or some of these other things?
I didn't. I saw a cognitive behavioral therapy cognitive distortions list maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I was like, wow, those are my thoughts. It's not even like they hijacked me. They've been tapping my brain. So, but now have I gone to a CBT therapist? Of course I haven't, John, but I should.
Yeah.
I'm about to go to an IFS, internal family systems therapist.
Oh,
if
okay.
They email me back. They haven't emailed me back, but I emailed them, I don't know, this week or last week or something. So that's another type of therapy I just heard about recently, that I did it a little bit recreationally just on my own, and it's pretty helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done some shows about IFS. It's
great. Horrible name. What could not be a worse name for what it is, but
yeah, it makes one uncomfortable. Just
well, it's just internal family system. It just seems like I got to yell at my mom. I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, that's what Freudian therapy is, yelling at your mom. But this is IFS, people don't know, internal family systems or parts therapy. You survey your inner monologue and notice recurring lines of thought or argument or negative self-talk, and you name those parts like people, like they're generally like some form of you, and you name them. And then when they show up in the future, you go like, hey, Stu is here. Hey, Stu, what do you got? And he goes, people don't respect you enough. And you're like, I know, Stu. Sorry. And it just gets better, apparently.
It sounds like a wonderful comedy writing opportunity, actually.
It really actually does sound like an old radio play.
Uh-huh.
Right. Or like In and Out. Inside Out. What was the Pixar movie?
Inside Out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said you took the SSRIs till about 2012, or you did therapy?
Yeah, then they just stopped working. And I tried other ones, and they didn't really work, and I'd be nauseous and erectile dysfunction, and I'd gain weight and sluggish and fall asleep. Just, you know, the panoply of side effects. I had different ones, probably on 5 different drugs. And then a few years ago, I decided to try ketamine. This is probably 6 years ago. Decided to try ketamine, didn't quite work, did 5 ceremonies. We'll get to ceremonies in a little bit.
Okay.
Sessions, 5 sessions, didn't work. It felt like I'd come out of surgery. It wasn't good.
What happens in a session for ketamine? What's involved?
I got an IV and sat in basically a doctor's office in a kind of observation room and kind of under a blanket and just kind of like nodded out. And I'd say the meat of it was 45 minutes to an hour. My experience was I would kind of get in a It's a Small World After All little cart, and I'd go through a few rooms filled with what's known as machine elves. And it was matrixy. The walls were matrixy. Just wasn't very helpful. It seemed to lack meaning.
Okay.
And then my eyes were burning for a month and a half after, if not longer.
How many of those sessions did you do for the ketamine?
5.
5. How far apart?
Yeah. I think in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I did the one that was helpful was TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation. I did that after ketamine. And that's been very helpful. That was very helpful. I had to do 40 of those. That's they stick a machine, kind of a wand, up to your mind, up to your head, and they blast it with, I believe, MRI beams, like directed small MRI beams. And they try to hit an area that stimulates, it's kind of dormant areas of the brain, and it creates more flow there. And that worked, actually. That was helpful.
Years ago, you told me that the experience was like having a shitty woodpecker.
That is correct.
On your head. And I've used that expression many times since then.
Well, so if you've done it, people have said that was help. That's an apt description.
Okay.
So keep it up, John. Don't change a thing.
Thank you.
And
so what did that do? It helped in what way? What did it do?
It just made me less depressed. Honestly, it made me less, you know, Zoloft. I went back on Zoloft at that point, I think, and it helped. It was like an adjunct that helped, and maybe 25% better, I'd say. Then what did I do?
Let's see. I've got a few things on here. I've got ayahuasca. I've got Chinese TMS.
Yes. Okay. Well, let me tell you the order of that.
Okay.
Okay. So went to China. There's a better version of someone who'd seen Three Mics on Netflix, who's a neurosurgeon in China, but likes comedy and is American, was like, it's a long story, but he got in touch with me and I was doing a show in Shanghai and with his brother, whatever. So I ended up, long story, going to China, and I can't remember the city, and for a week, and did basically 15, maybe I'm going to go 25 sessions in 5 days.
Wow.
So 5 a days.
How long is each session?
15 minutes, 15 to 20.
Okay.
And I'd say it's more of a, it's the king woodpecker, we'll say.
Okay.
It's the dominant peck of the species.
The alpha woodpecker.
And it's, if you watch my new special blocks, I have video of it and my face is getting G-forced from it.
I watched blocks and I enjoyed it very much. And it looked like, for the Chinese TMS, it looked like you were convulsing until I realized, oh no, this is TMS, but a highly aggressive form of it.
It's the king pecker.
Yeah.
I met with the king pecker, went over to China, went met with the King Pecker, and it was harsher, but still, I think it was helpful. So that was 2019.
Okay. Is this version not permitted in the U.S.? Is it?
Yes. Apparently, it's not legal yet in America.
So you had done the TMS in the United States, and it worked. Had it worn off by the time?
Yeah, it worn off. I would say it worn off.
Okay. How long did it last?
4 years, I'd say.
That's not bad.
No, not bad. Again, I was still on other stuff, but it was helpful.
So why not just go with what you knew and just do a tune-up with the American TMS? Not to question your patriotism.
No. Well, because I believe that China's got some good ideas, and okay. I think the sooner Americans find that out, the better they'll be. Okay. I sent a weather balloon up. We're working on a weather balloon as we speak.
I'm sure it'll work out fine.
They're doing some great things with weather balloons.
Yeah.
I just, because the guy offered, said he'd do it for free. It seemed like a better version. I like traveling. Fuck it. Never been to China. Sounds whimsical the way I'm saying it, but like, I will try things if offered for depression.
And that was in 2019?
Yes.
Is that still, did it work? I guess I should ask that.
Well, yes, I would say it worked. It's, again, you know, as anyone will tell you who's done a lot of stuff, it's hard to know exactly what did what. I will get to one that clearly did a lot in a right after the break. no, I right soon when we go through the chronology.
I didn't plan for him to say that right then, but it worked out. Neil Brennan is also a veteran podcast host. After the break, Neil tries some things that work pretty well and some that kind of explode all over his mind. But he also finds God. You know what I like? I like when things are easy. Man, easy things are just the best, because obviously, there are plenty of parts of life already that can be very, very difficult. So bring on the easy. My favorite easy things, I have to admit, are when something seems like it would be difficult, but turns out to be easy. Oh, I love that. Case in point, building your own website and web presence with Squarespace. I did this years ago and found it to be delightfully simple. I can build a site, make changes, redesign everything if I want, all very simple. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. You don't need to be a web guru. You become the guru. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. They accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. So why not get started now? Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/depresh to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/depresh.
Since the dawn of time, man has dreamed of bringing life back from the dead. From Orpheus and Eurydice to Frankenstein's monster, resurrection has long been merely the stuff of myth, fiction, and fairy tale. Until now.
Actually, we still can't bring people back from the dead. That would be crazy, but the Dead Pilot Society podcast has found a way to resurrect great dead comedy pilots from Hollywood's finest writers. Every month, Dead Pilot Society brings you a reading of a comedy pilot that was sold and developed but never produced, performed by the funniest actors from film and television. How does Dead Pilot Society achieve this miracle? The answer can only be found at MaximumFun.org.
Back with Neil Brennan, comedian and, I guess, intrepid depression treatment adventurer. He was talking about TMS treatment that worked pretty well.
Okay, so that was 2019. Helpful. Still on SSRIs. Had gone back on Zoloft. I'd gone back on Zoloft because I started having panic attacks on stage.
Well, that's
and
no good.
And off stage when I had to like, I hosted a guest host of a radio show in New York. Got a panic attack on the air. Pretty terrifying, pretty awful.
Walk us through that. What happened? What happened to your body? What happened to your
I head? Was reading. Well, I'd started the maybe a week or two before Three Mics. I was off Zoloft and someone had offered me human growth hormone. And they're like, it's good for mood, good for aging, good for just like seem to have no downside except cancer. You got to look past that, John. You're nitpicking.
Don't get hung up on the cancer.
Human growth hormone. What do I care? I'll try anything. I try it and I start having panic attacks on stage. Another side effect wasn't told about. Started having panic attacks on stage and was like, oh, this is bad. And when I did Three Mics at the taping, I think I took a third of a Xanax maybe, which I don't like that I did, but I did. Anyhow, so then at a certain point, another one happened maybe a year and a half later, another panic attack on stage. And then I was like, I think I need to go back on Zoloft because I wasn't getting these films on Zoloft. Went back on Zoloft, stayed on Zoloft through fall of 2020. Okay.
Okay.
At which point, a friend of mine sends me an article in the New York Times about ayahuasca, the much talked about ayahuasca.
Right.
And I always say me and my friend are at the age where we get our drug ideas from the New York Times.
That's where I get my hip hop reviews because that's
exactly.
Such a reliable source. So
fantastic.
I just want to walk through the chronology to recap, to do a reset here. So
yes, I'm jumping around.
We have the Zoloft, we have the SSRIs, we have talk therapy around that same time. You stick with that for a while.
I stuck with that for way too long, honestly.
Because you weren't getting anything out of it.
I wasn't getting it. At a certain point, you know what the final straw with therapy was? A therapist said, well, you know, if you got married and had kids, you might be so much happier. And I was like, what?
Oh no.
And she actually was like, I'm sorry. I had a good experience with it later in life. And I was just like, this is so weird and biased. Like, and you just, the curtain just fell. And she was very smart and very bright. But like the whole thing is kind of biased to me. And it's all too human. So that was kind of the last time I went to therapy.
Bias towards getting married and having kids?
No, it's just bias toward whatever their bias is. And
oh, okay.
The problem is, if you say, the problem with therapy is, if you cut it off, then they go, well, aren't you avoidant? And it's like, so there's no way I can stop this. It's a doomsday cult. And you go, well, didn't you say doomsday was coming? And they go, no, that was a test.
Oh.
And you need to show, they're testing us and you need to double down and show your strength and your belief. And that's how it felt with therapy to me, for better or worse. Again, that's not gospel, pardon the pun, but that's just what my experience.
It's your experience. Well, that's the topic.
Yeah.
So then from there to the ketamine?
Yes. I mean, I was still doing therapy and ketamine. Like I didn't stop therapy probably till 2017, maybe.
But that was the next advance. That was the next, the new frontier was the ketamine.
Yes, sir.
And worked pretty well?
Which?
Ketamine.
No. Didn't work for me, but I have a lot of friends it has worked for, so I don't want to say don't.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't say don't or do any of these things. Like, you have to try different stuff. You just have to.
And then from there, the TMS into the Chinese TMS.
When you put it that way, it sounds absurd. So that's about that should get us to 2019, right? 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's time for the ayahuasca.
Yes. Here it is. Time for the ayahuasca.
Okay.
So
you've warmed up, you've limbered, you've stretched.
Yes. The Chinese TMS, regular TMS. I'm ready.
Okay. How did that come about?
Friend sent me the article. Other friend had told me about it years earlier. and got the number from him and got into it. We went to a ceremony, or actually we hired a private. We did a private ceremony, me and the friend who texted me about it and a few other friends. And I had to go off SSRIs to do it.
And well, let's back up just a moment. Can you explain what ayahuasca is for people who aren't familiar with the term?
Sure. It is a Amazonian plant tea, plant medicine tea. I know it sounds like you want to punch me in the face when I say plant medicine. I get it. That's just when you do it, you can't call it drugs. It becomes like a thing that you, I would not say that it is drugs. I would say it's a healing medicine. The history of it is, and again, this speaks to what a hippie I've become. 1,000 or so years ago, the plants told the indigenous people of the Amazon how to cook them. The plants spoke to them telepathically or something and said, if you need some healing, if you need some wisdom, cook us this way. Okay. It's two different plants that you wouldn't cook together. So that's why that's like how the story goes. And I believe it because of my experiences with it. And it's gotten more popular and it's getting, obviously, I would say bastardized, but like it, in its essence, it's the only magic I've ever experienced.
Really?
So yeah. Yeah. And again, I get no pleasure saying any of this. I know how this sounds and appears. And right. Like, trust me.
You're a Californian in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, like, trust me. No one wants to waterboard me worse than me.
What happened? What, like, how does it work? Do they give you a shot
so
glass
you get
of it
a
or what?
You basically get like a cappuccino, I'm sorry, a espresso shot of it. Like, okay. You know, basically a shot glass. All I need is like a quarter of an ounce. And you do it in truly a ceremony with, you know, candlelit. And I've done a few different types of ceremonies. There's like a Peruvian one and a Brazilian one. The first time I did it was with a few friends. That was like sort of a mixed experience. Some people experienced nothing. I experienced 3 hours of, I was crying over people, just groups of people, not a thing I'm like, want to do, not a thing that speaks to my overall attitude, but I was just struck by people, humanity. I got a lot of wide shots of the forest. I felt a connection with a friend. And then it was kind of over in about 3 hours. I had a friend looking back in that ceremony. She realized that she'd gotten sort of possessed. I've seen that a few times.
Possessed by what?
Spirits.
Okay.
It's crazy. And I had another friend vomit up his mother's hatred of him.
Oh.
It's a wild scene.
Yeah.
You purge and it's a notion or a habit or a block for lack of, you can purge up. I've purged up, again, punch me in the face. I've purged up an apology for climate change.
Oh.
I don't know, man. So that was the first time I did that with sort of a goofy guy. Then I found a better guy to do it with. He has a really beautiful ceremony. It's maybe 8 hours. It's like dancing, praying. It's the only spiritual experience I've ever had. In the middle of that, that was a two-dayer. On day two, I opened my eyes and I was like, oh, I'm in the presence of God. I was an atheist before that.
Really? You found God?
Sorry, everybody. yes, I basically, or God found me, or I experienced God, or whatever you want to call it. So then from that period forward, that was the fall of 2020, I believed in a God. I did it again with the first shaman, drank too much, had a horrible experience. was thrust into outer space, and the universe was died, and I was by myself in outer space, terrified. My brain, I had a thing called dissolution, where it's what I imagine Syd Barrett from Pink Floyd experience, where I would think the word "what" and my brain would go like,
oh wow, like a 60s psychedelic movie.
Yes, like a horrible montage.
Okay. Wow. Most people during this time, during 2020, were like making sourdough bread.
Not me.
Finding God.
No bread for me. You don't mind if I dissolve my brain and experience God, do you?
Just wear a mask. Injections? Just make sure you wear a mask.
Well, yeah, there's a whole, you're not going to believe it. Some of the ayahuasca people, not that into COVID.
Really?
Beliefs,
you don't say,
or practices. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it.
So you do these sessions and you have these revelatory experiences, and you say they last about 3 hours, and then
the thing that happened on that the one where I went to outer space, my brain dissolved.
Yeah,
I was terrified for a week. Like, oh, wow. I had to sleep with the lights on. Like, I don't even know why. But I just thought, I'm so scared. I think I had like legit PTSD. Like, it was traumatic and it was
a stress disorder. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I straight up had it. But around day 4 or 5 of that terror after the outer space brain dissolution, as it's known, the great brain dissolution of 2020.
Sure.
I had the thought, I'm never going to be depressed again.
Hmm.
And I'm off Zoloft at this point. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to be depressed again. It felt like when I went off Zoloft, I tell people like the floorboards of my mood were kind of mushy. And after this horrible ayahuasca experience, my floorboards were firmer and higher in my mind, if that makes sense.
Did this take the form of you resolving to never be depressed again, or realizing that it had already happened?
No, it was realizing. It was not. That's the thing. I wish I could say that I earned any of this. I guess I earned it in that I never stopped trying new stuff. But I can't say, like, I meditated and then I had I had sores on my butt from meditating, and only through then did I reach that level of, you know, enlightenment. It wasn't like that. So it was just, I had a crazy experience on medicine. Yeah, I said it. And I ended up better off from it.
Have you been depressed since then? Did that make it go away?
I have not.
You've not been depressed?
Yes, okay. I've not been depressed. And... okay, so that was ayahuasca number 4,
okay.
That bad one. I've probably done it another 10 times since, over the last 2 years. Okay, so I did ayahuasca a few more times, and it was a little hard to recover from that bad experience, but the lack of depression I found sort of inspiring and kind of made me think, like, this is a good medicine for me. But the next few were rough, because it was like, at one point there was a tiger in the room and like just wildness.
I would think that after things like disappearing into space and finding God, your expectations of what you're going to find are probably kind of high. Was there a matter of like,
well,
anticipating?
They weren't even
something?
High. Those are big, scary things to experience. So. They made me cautious, weirdly, and kind of paranoid. One of the ceremonies, I thought the rapture had come, like, oh, we're in the rapture. Like, we're all about to be divided up, I think. The thing is, I would have these experiences without knowing much about the Bible, and I'd be like, what's the rapture again? I think this is the one. I know they did that show on HBO. So it was like a guy who's having biblical experiences. Who can't really remember the Bible.
Right. But does remember HBO's programming.
Yeah, lineup. Yeah. I'll remember the leftovers.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great show.
But Justin Theroux, as hot as they come.
Yeah, right.
Has to work out four or five times a week. Anyhow. So did that. Then I was in New York doing what became Blocks, the Block special on Netflix. And I hadn't my medicine circle is out here, right? So
in California.
Yeah. So I was in New York and I hadn't done it in a while and I didn't want it to wear off in terms of the depression. So I was like, well, let me, I was like kind of looking for a stop, you know, gap or whatever and measure. And so someone told me about DMT. They were like, hey, I have a connection to Bufo, Alvarius, 5-MeO-DMT. Now I'd heard about 5-MeO-DMT and always thought that's too severe for me, the experience of it.
Can you tell us what that is? What 5-DMO?
5-MeO-DMT is the active ingredient of ayahuasca, which is DMT, dimethyltryptamine.
Okay.
AKA the God molecule.
Okay.
The king of king peckers.
Yeah, the biggest pecker in the world.
Yes, the universal king pecker. And you basically you smoke, they get it from a toad, a Sonoran toad from the Sonoran desert. And it's like venom or something, or like excretion. Uh-huh. And people smoke it. And they have very good experiences, but it just sounds like too severe. Like you inhale and you're gone. Ayahuasca, you drink, and then over like an hour, it acts like more common psychedelics that, you know, mushrooms, like things we're used to.
People have been doing 5-MeO-DMT for depression. So this is a practice that's on the rise.
Yes. And I wasn't doing it for depression. I guess I was doing it for depression. I was doing it for like to stay kind of in the zone. And so I did it in New York, 8 o'clock, November 1st, 2001.
2021.
Yes. 2021. Correct.
Okay.
I'm traveling through time, you understand?
It's ever since you met God.
It wasn't unlike 2001.
Okay.
That was a what my friend calls a Freudian slip.
There you go.
So inhale at 8 p.m., blast off into a white void where I have no understanding of anything. I have no orientation. I don't know what a person is. I don't know what I am. I don't know what direction is. I don't know what breathing is. I don't know anything. It was a scenario that Michael Pollan, the writer who did DMT, 5-MeO-DMT, Bufo, referred to as going to before the Big Bang. I went.
We'll learn what Neil found after he went. That's after the break.
Hello, dreamers. This is Evelyn Denton, CEO of the only world-class, fully immersive theme resort, Steeplechase. You know, I've been seeing more and more reports on the blogs that our beloved park simply isn't safe anymore.
Murder them?
I'm gonna wreck it.
They say they got mugged by brigands in the fantasy kingdom of Ephemera, or hijacked by space pirates in Infinitum.
I mean, I could have a knife.
My papa said that I needed to do a crime.
Friends, I'm here to reassure you that it's all part of the show. These criminals were really just overzealous staff trying to make things a little more magical for our guests. We're just as safe as we've always been. This isn't a county fair, dreamers. This is Steeplechase.
The Adventure Zone. Every Thursday at MaximumFun.org.
Talking with comedian Neil Brennan, when last we left him, he was trying a psychedelic called 5-MeO-DMT. Wikipedia says effects vary and can range from radical perspective shifting and perception of new insights, euphoria, immersive experiences, dissociation and non-responsiveness, sensual erotic enhancement, to dysphoria, fear, terror, and panic. Phew! Let's see where it takes Neil.
And I thought the expulsion to outer space was rough.
This was rougher.
This was exponentially rougher to a degree of numbers that I can't fathom. It was beyond anything I'd ever experienced. I'm going to go in a bad way. It was just way too much for me. And you slowly come back into your body. You gain orientation. You remember who you are. You remember like the sort of rules of life and gravity and a mind and a person. And I came back into my body and I did a thing during it where I was like, all right, we're going to rebuild myself. We're going to be a new, different person. And like pettiness would come in. I'd be like, get out of here, pettiness. We're going to do you anymore. And it ended up being like, I left at 9, inhaled at 8, walking home at 9, right?
AM or PM?
PM.
Okay.
And you think I'm going to get up at 8 a.m.? You know what time to get up?
You want to expand your mind.
You think I'm going to get up? I want to expand my mind, but I'm not that much.
God can wait.
At what price? So that was like, okay, that was a pretty good experience. Heavy, big, but not bad.
Mm.
And then that's Monday, November 1st. Saturday, November 6th, I guess. My friend, the comedian Ryan Hamilton, comes to my late show of Blocks. And we're talking, and I'm telling about ayahuasca. I'm telling about DMT. And as I'm telling him about this, I can kind of feel myself drifting back into it.
Back into the DMT experience?
Back into the DMT experience, that kind of white, voidy, lack of orientation, somewhere between life and the spirit world. It's the only way I can describe it. Huh. And I can feel myself drifting. I go home. I watch a Linda Ronstadt documentary on HBO Plus.
Naturally.
And still feeling myself drifting. And I'm like, I got to go to sleep. By the way, I still haven't started watching it again, the Linda Ronstadt documentary, about a year and a half later.
Because you don't want to be triggered.
Nope. So that's Sunday, the 7th of November. I wake up. I have a coffee date. And I'm walking to the coffee date. And I'm halfway between life and this white void world. And it's the most disorienting thing I've ever experienced and hope to ever experience.
Is it experiencing in your vision, in your hearing? Like, what's the sensory?
It's experiencing in my mind, my human experience, my human consciousness. I'm okay. Somewhere between normal alive and what I think is what death will be like.
Wow.
And at some point I had the thought, am I in God's imagination? Stuff that you shouldn't think. Stuff that you is cute if Alan Watts says it. But if you experience it, it's like, this is how I had the thought. Not only is this the worst day of my life, this might be the worst day of any life ever. I had the thought, I wouldn't wish this level of disorientation on Adolf Hitler. And you know I don't like Hitler. I've been very clear about that.
You've been very outspoken about your feelings on Hitler.
Openly anti-Hitler. And one of the rare people who's brave enough.
Yeah.
And I had the thought, I should probably kill myself. But I didn't, because I knew I was just be going into more of it.
Into more of
it
what?
It was, dude, it was so insane. I had the chills talking about it for a year, and it lasted 2 days of like very, very pungent, direct, constant, relentless thatness in that experience. And then slowly but surely, and my friend said, I was like, what did I seem like? She's like, you just seem like very preoccupied. It was right here. It was like, at any time, I can envelop you. I would call it like pre-psychosis. That was on Sunday, Monday. Starting Tuesday, I got like 0.5% better every day.
Better back to your...
So I started to get a little bit better.
Back to your regular self.
Just regular consciousness, yeah.
Okay.
But November, that was November 8th. You know, December 20th, I was on a plane and we hit turbulence, and I was kind of half asleep, hit turbulence. And my first thought was like, what am I? Not where am I, not who am I, what am I? Like, what is this?
Huh.
I got laughing gas at the dentist, got thrust back into it, had to start over.
So is this the same dosage and the same substance that people like go to Jamaica and have little 15-minute trips?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah.
I only did one inhale. Wow. He told me the amount, and he said it was kind of on like the lower high side. Like if it was like, 60 milligrams or something. Uh-huh. I'm pulling that out of my ass, but But it's, I think sometimes they give 90 and then he gave me 65 or something. So again, making those numbers up. But it took me for real 5 or 6 months to get to be myself again. Now, the punchline,
yes,
is I am a better version of myself.
Having gone through the 5-MEA.
Yes. Yes.
And in what way are you better?
Brain is high, mind is higher, firmer, like absolutely will never be depressed again. Easier to fall in love, more empathetic, funnier, better writer, better joke writer, you know, still very strong associations, metaphors, stuff I was already decent at. I think I'm better at it now. And also people notice. People are like, what did you do? You know, I've had people go to ayahuasca because they were like, what did you do? And I was like, oh, what do you mean? They're like, you seem different. So like my friend Nicole Amy Shriver, who I don't know if you've had on here, comedian, she qualifies to be on here. She started going to the ayahuasca circle I go to based on just seeing a difference in me. A number of people. So I am better between ayahuasca and DMT. I can't recommend DMT in good conscience. I can very much recommend ayahuasca in good conscience. I didn't do anything for a year after that DMT experience.
Are you glad that you did the DMT?
It's one of those things where if you ask me, if, you know, time machine, do I do it again?
Yeah.
I don't think I do. I think I try to get where I got with ayahuasca, honestly. It was just, dude, it was too much. It was just too close to the edge. And like, I survived it, but it was an incredible amount of juice and it was a near unbearable squeeze. That's what I'll say.
It's interesting to me that your experience with the ayahuasca has been so great. Other people, I'm sure, have had terrible experiences with that.
Yeah.
I've heard about people having wonderful experiences with the 5-MEO, and yours was harrowing. Does that make you more reticent to try the next thing, or are you done trying things?
I think I'm done trying things. I mean, I think I solved it,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. For now, it really feels like I'm good. It really feels like I'm good in like a very thorough way.
Huh.
And what I do sort of I'm reluctant to do is just recommend anything, to give a full-throated recommendation on any of these things, because it's I'm living proof everyone's different. I've had bad experience in ayahuasca and I had near unbearable experience on DMT, and to your point, people have had the opposite. So proceed with extreme caution. I don't have a history of psychosis or anything, and it's just, they're just incredibly potent. That's all I'll say. And there's a lot of talk about legalizing all this stuff. And, you know, I couldn't talk to a therapist.
Hmm. What do you mean?
Because I knew what I was experiencing was so far past therapy. I was like, past the sun. I can't, if that makes any sense. I couldn't look at sunsets.
When was this in the timeline?
It was after DMT.
Okay.
In that sort of like loss. I mean, I couldn't look at sunsets 5 months later because one of the things I experienced was I experienced the central creation force. What I believe was the central creation force of the universe up close. And it was not a person. It was in my mind, it was like a giant piece of stone, like kind of overhanging me, like granite, like black granite. Again, could be just shitty writing.
This is on the DMT?
This is at DMT. This is either during DMT or like the 2 days after.
Okay.
It's hard to like remember when. Mm-hmm. I experienced what, but you know, I feel like 500,000 years wasn't that long a period of time to me. After that, I couldn't, when people go, isn't it crazy that mountain is 500,000 years old? And you go, yeah, that's crazy. And nothing happens. I understood it. And it was a
what my friend Charlie Murphy used to call a bug out. It was a bug out. Like, it was like, we have blinders on for a reason. My blinders were off. The sun, the moon, the ocean, I understood it. There's the joke from Spinal Tap. It's a little too much perspective. This was a little too much perspective.
So when you go to the IFS therapist that you're uh-huh. going to try, like, uh-huh. do you try to contextualize? Are you going to try to contextualize therapy within the realm of all these experiences that you've had? And those pants wouldn't seem to fit, I don't think.
The funny thing is, I have experienced all that, all the stuff I've claimed to have experienced, but my personality is pretty fucking resilient and my neuroses are pretty resilient. The good thing was, I used to say to therapists, I was like, this is in my body, and this, my issues, for lack of a better word, felt like they were in my body. And the DMT and the ayahuasca kind of got them out of my body. And I don't relate to my neuroses or my, what will be my IFS personas or whatever. I don't like own them anymore. They're not like, I'm not defending them anymore. They're not me. They're not like, this is me. It's just like some shit that I got dipped in, is how it feels. I feel like, from the experiences I had with ayahuasca and DMT, I feel like I'm like, we're all these eternal spirits and we get dipped in this humanity. And I'm just trying to wash off more of the humanity and the stuff, neuroses, depression, negative thought styles, negative self-talk. Like, I'm just trying to wash it off.
So those things aren't part of you. Those are things that have been put on you.
That's the simplest explanation I can come up with. I'm guessing, but yeah. So was Freud.
But that's what it feels like to you.
It feels like something, some parts of me are eternal and some parts of me are corporeal to this human life consciousness. A friend of mine said that he, after he did ayahuasca, he had the thought, it didn't matter who he married, he was going to have his daughters anyway. And I said, well, what do you make of your parents? And he said, I think that they're like stock boys, that I was coming and I was assigned to them. From when you get assigned to them, then you get some of their characteristics. Look, a lot of this is sketchy. But this new modality that we're writing. But like, some things feel eternal and some things feel very much like, what is this? I don't relate to this. I'm doing this, but I don't really, but I see the futility in it. Why can't I stop? You know?
Has it helped you write more? Has it helped you create more comedy?
I think it has. Not like double, but I'd say 30% more. I mean, Blocks is out now, came out in November, mm-hmm. a year to the day of the reactivation. By the way, 70% of people that inhale DMT get a reactivation. 70. People that inject it don't. A friend of mine researched it, show me it. 70% get a reactivation. I think the reactivation, generally speaking, is way milder than mine, but just be mindful that that's a regular thing. What we used to call the acid flashback.
Yeah, the flash. That's what I was going to say. It sounds like a flashback.
Yeah, they call it a reactivation now.
Okay.
And they call a process, they call them a journey now. So pretty great.
Okay. Learn your vocabulary.
No, I never stopped teaching. I would say that I'm as funny and I my spirit's better.
Yeah.
Audiences like me 15-20% more. And you will understand what I mean because you've done stand-up enough. Audiences like me more and I'm not doing anything.
Do you like yourself more?
Yeah. I don't, I will say I'm gentler with myself.
Okay.
It's not gentle, but it's gentler. And I do like myself more. I certainly loathe myself less.
Okay.
So, well, I mean, come on, what do you want? It's only DMT. It's not... It's one of the most powerful substance on earth. What do you think is going to happen?
It's not going to change stand up all that much.
Come on, please. Yeah. It met an irresistible object, met a fucking whatever, impenetrable object.
Right. Met a big stone creation exactly. of the universe being.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was like, he was like, oh Jesus, I'll come back. So I do feel improved in just about every category.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I can't recommend it. It's ironic because it's the best, most effective thing I've ever done by it. Feel like talk therapy, Zoloft, ayahuasca maybe got me 15% of the way there, and DMT got me 85, the other 85. But it was, you know, I almost committed suicide.
Yeah, so there's that.
From disorientation. So
good luck, everybody.
So anyway, go. The promo code is wow. It's no small thing.
Yeah. Neil Brennan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, John.
Neil Brennan's latest special, Blocks, is on Netflix. Next time on Depression Mode, religion can bring peace and comfort to people, but not all the time.
I thought I was going to hell for my whole childhood, and sort of living with that shame and fear, I now understand it was sort of laying some groundwork, some hardwiring of like living in a constant state of fear and fight or flight response can start to drain your mood. I didn't think something was off with my mind or even the idea of mental health didn't come to it. It was sort of all religion and like this life doesn't actually that matter that much. All that matters is yes or no for Jesus.
Comedian Zach Zimmerman joins us. If people support our show, we can keep having a show. If they don't, we have to stop. I think this show helps people. I think that people enjoy it. I would like your support in helping make more of them. It's easy to do. And by the way, if you've already joined Depression Mode, thank you so much. You're making a difference. If you have not yet joined Depression Mode, it's easy. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join, find a level that works for you, and select Depression Mode. Be sure to hit subscribe, give us 5 stars, write rave reviews. All of that helps us get the word out about the show so that the show can help people in the world. The Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7 for free in the United States by calling 988. The Crisis Text Line, also free, always available. Text the word HOME to 741741. Our electric mail address is depressionmode@maximumfun.org. If you're on Facebook, look up our mental health discussion group, Preshies. Lots of good conversation happening over there. Our Instagram is DepreshPod. Our Depression Mode newsletter is on Substack. Search that up. I write that once a week. I'm on Twitter @JohnMo. Hi, credits listeners. What happens around Minnesota this time of year is you start getting sunny days when the temperature goes above freezing, and then the snow starts to melt and the sidewalks get all wet. Then the temperature drops down again and there's ice everywhere. And then, if you're me, you go out on the sidewalk one night to go to your friend's house, and you're carrying a tray of deviled eggs, and you slip on the ice, and you fall, but you don't drop the deviled eggs. And then you're in pain, but you're filled with pride. It was quite a moment. I'm glad you weren't there. Depression Mode is made possible by your contributions. The show is produced by Gabe Mara. Our senior producer is Kevin Ferguson, and we get booking help from Mara Davis. Rhett Miller wrote and performed our theme song, Building Wings.
I'm always falling off of cliffs now, building wings on the way down. I am figuring things out, building wings, building wings, building wings. I just keep believing. No one knows the end.
This is Kelly from Sydney, Australia, and I just want to say, you've got this.
Depression Mode is a production of Maximum Fun and Papa Chick. I'm John Moe. Bye now.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.